Hello and a warm welcome to another edition of The Debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Necefi. Welcome to the show. Now, large crowds of yellow vest protesters, or to be more exact, based on the French Interior Ministry, 32,000 people took to the streets in French cities, including in the capital, Paris, today. It's the ninth consecutive Saturday of these protests, which have also spread to the UK, Brussels, and elsewhere in Europe. Security was heightened with police deploying armored vehicles, horses, and attack dogs, as well as water cannon, tear gas, and rubber bullets to disperse the protesters. Now, President Macron has called for a national debate of mid-January. Will protesters take heed of that call? Could that be the solution to the problem? Before we discuss the topic, let's watch a report.
It's been 9 weeks, and their grassroots protest movement seems to be growing. The yellow vest protesters continue their anti-government rallies in hope for a change. In the capital city, just like the other weeks, protesters turned ugly. Gendarmes clashed with the protesters and fired tear gas at them. Several arrests were also made. French officials have vowed zero tolerance as the protests drag on. The government deployed armed vehicles and some 80,000 security forces to the streets this weekend. Yet, people still came to show their anger at the government's economic policies. Similar rallies also took place in other cities like Bourges. The rallies started in mid-November as a simple protest against planned fuel hikes, but soon morphed into mass demonstrations against Macron and his policies.
The government doesn't want to let go of anything. They've lived in it. It's their world. Fraud. Think of their own advantages. They have no reason to let go. They don't know better, and it's the same for us. We have no reason to let go. We don't know anything else but misery, so we're best enemies.
Macron stood his ground for some time, but in mid-December, after protests did not die down, he was forced to scrap the planned fuel tax rises. Facing the biggest political crisis of his 20-month presidency, he even promised extra cash for minimum wage earners and tax cuts for pensioners. But rallies are still going on, with no sign of slowing down. Protesters say Macron's concessions are not enough and he can't relate to their financial difficulties.
President Macron said last night that the French didn't know how to make efforts. I think he goes too far every time he speaks. Up until now, I was a pacifist, but the problem is that what he says is far more remote from the people on the street, so it can't carry on.
The violent protests have negatively affected the young president's popularity. A recent poll by Figaro magazine showed that only 22% of French people approve of their president's actions. In a desperate attempt to contain the protests, Macron now says that he's ready to listen, to make changes. But protesters have increased their demands even more, making it hard for the government to quell the anger that is simmering on the streets across the country.
Now let's begin today's debate. Joining me will be Secretary General of the CIPI Foundation, Paolo Rofone from Brussels, and also Professor of Economics and author of Debunking Economics, Steve Keen from Amsterdam. Beginning with Paolo, protests continued. This is the ninth straight week. Why are the protesters so determined and resolute to go on?
Well, the determination comes out of a long period, I would say about three decades, in which wages have been decreasing, the prospects of better social insertion or ascension has been reduced or even cancelled. The economic difficulties to reach the end of the month are an everyday life menu. So all of this is a situation that is given, and it was well known already in the past years, and now people have taken on their own. They don't trust the political class anymore, the elites, as they call them. They are looked at liars, so they've been promising, but the conditions of the people have been worsening, and that's why they are they are in the streets and they do not trust any longer any political figure that would promise to change something like Macron is attempting in these hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's now go to Amsterdam. Let me put the same question to Steve Keen. Steve, why do you think protesters are so adamant to go on with their protests?
Well, I think the same the reasons given by the previous speaker, plus also what else is there to do? I mean, in this sense, when you're living on poverty wages and you basically face boredom and the stress of forever trying to balance the unbalanceable with a diminishing wage and rising costs, if you get and say, let's go on the streets and demonstrate, that's entertainment. And it's a combination of both frustration and the fact that this is an outlet that they haven't had and their voices are finally being heard in a fashion that really hasn't happened in the last 30 years in France, actually the last almost 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, Paolo, the Yellow Vest movement, which began as a protest over high fuel taxes in the first place, have snowballed into a wholesale rejection of President Macron and his economic policies. Protesters are calling for his resignation. So it seems that protesters think that France is suffering from more serious problems. What could be those problems?
Well, the inequality that has been imposed in the Western countries, and not only, but in the Western countries has been felt very much because of the social contract that is standing behind these liberal states. The policies that have been imposed on people over the past 30 to 40 years have been tremendously painful. People wanted to recognize the sovereign, so therefore the state, and to pay taxes on their wages and so on, but they wanted also to be, in a way, protected, not in the physical terms, but in terms of identity and dignity. And these leaders in the past 40 years have been betraying the contractual agreement with the people. Now, people have been trying all possible political expressions over the past 40 years, but nothing has changed. So now they are going in the streets and they are expressing in a resolute way that they do not want to continue in this condition.
Right. Now, Steve, President Emmanuel Macron has unveiled a 10 billion euro financial relief package for low earners. He has also axed the planned fuel tax increase, and also he has also promised two other concessions. Now, why have these decisions failed to appease the Yellow Vest protesters?
Well, mainly because their incomes have been cut so much by the policies in the last 20 years. And fundamentally, what the euro has done is force countries that if they wish to maintain some competitiveness, the only way to do that is to cut wages or to suppress wage growth. And this has been in some ways, it's the driving philosophy of the European Union, that the whole problem with capitalism is workers get paid too much and capitalists don't get paid enough. And this neoliberal philosophy, which Macron clearly subscribes to, is quite fallacious as a description of the real world. And it worked as a description of the real world before it was actually put into operation. And what you've had, not just in France, but certainly also in the UK under austerity, in the whole of the Eurozone region, you've had this philosophy being imposed. And what it really amounts to is people who have been paid low wages and having at least some security have had the security taken away and their wages reduced even further. And Macron has just been continuing this formula without any of the people who push this realizing that the real basis for the apparent growth under the neoliberal had nothing to do with cutting wages, it was rising private sector credit. That's now running out, so Macron is trying these policies when the engine that actually gave neoliberalism its growth has long sputtered to death.
Now, Paolo, President Macron has an idea that he wants to launch a national debate on January the 15th to try a kind of mollify the protesters who are furious at his administration and his policies. Is that the solution to the problem?
Well, first of all, there is a problem of credibility of President Macron, because he, as we remember, he was elected in an emergency situation to prevent the far-right leader reach the presidency. So the voters who voted for Macron are a minority in the country, mm-hmm. and his minority has chosen him. His standing since he has been elected has been continuously that of defending the status quo, what has been done, basically, even aggravating it with some economic measures that he then had to reconsider. But this now to come out with an idea of a national debate on what to do, it's quite a nonsense. First of all, because it cannot be resolved at national level. This is a trend that has been imposed on the Western countries since the late 70s. So, and this involves the European Union as such, all its member states and other parts of the Western countries. So the French debate is a no-go. Second, that this proposal comes from a person who is the emblem of the policies that are contested. So how can he believe uh-huh. that this can be accepted?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, let me talk to Steve about another possible solution. You know, Steve, as the protests have been going on, more violence is used to silence the protesters. The Interior Ministry has promised zero tolerance in the face of protesters that it calls rioters and thugs and hardliners and all of that. Is police brute force the solution?
Not a solution, but it may be a preventative measure for a while. The question is, how will the French respond to that level of brute force? And of course, if you use brute force like that, then saying don't vote for the National Front because they'll use brute force weakens you completely in the next presidential election. So it might be a winning strategy to prevent some demonstrations and scare people from the week after. It certainly won't stop what is now possible under social media, which is a guerrilla, a viral campaign simply saying, we'll give a signal, we'll do it this particular time. There's nothing to stop that still taking place. So I don't think it's effective, anywhere near as effective as it would have been, say, back in 1868, when you had the crushing of the Paris Commune. That level of force can't be used in a modern, well, I won't call them democracies, but in a modern political state. And will actually weaken you for the next election. So it'd be an admission of failure if that was the tactic that Macron finally falls in for.
Now, Paolo, let's look at it in terms of the economic loss. You know, thanks to weeks of protests, businesses are hurt. 500 shops we hear have been damaged. And also colossal material losses have been imposed on the nation. Who's responsible for all these losses?
Well, this is the result of a contradiction in the finance capitalism. So finance capitalism is something that has been implemented since the 80s and more particularly in the 90s till today. It has separated the capital from the production and from the people who produce, the workers, and moreover from a territory where this happens. Finance capitalism has been transnationalized. It lives outside of borders, has no face, no taste, no name, no addresses. So the only thing they want to do is to increase the value of their capital, which is totally transcendental, corresponding to the life of people. And so nobody is really responsible for the crisis that has been produced. So certainly not the protesters. Protesters are protesting, and it is normal to allow people to protest. We cannot say that they are disrupting the economy of France. The economy of France is in big trouble because of what I just explained before, and is not recoverable if there is not a very strong political and social change of direction.
Yes. Okay, did you just stop there? Okay. Now, let me ask Steve. 77% of respondents to a recent poll regarding the French government policies have expressed distrust, disgust, and boredom. Now, Macron's performance has the approval of less than a quarter of the French people. Mm-hmm. Does this make his administration qualified to correct the deficiencies and address the protesters' demands?
No. It's qualified to give in to them. In that sense, because if you get three quarters of the population of the country supporting protesters, It gives you an idea of just how unpopular the government itself is and how unpopular its policies are. And putting this in context, France in many ways has been a holdout against the whole neoliberal agenda. It got caught up in it by agreeing to the formation of the euro in the false belief that they could constrain the Germans. The German system instead has set the political and economic agenda for France, with all those years of austerity going right back to the crisis, and under three prime ministers rather than just the one which president we're talking about now. And the French were never happy philosophically about the idea of neoliberalism. They've now tasted it. It's clearly made the situation of the middle class and the poor worse. And they're demonstrating, as really only the French can do. I have a Canadian colleague who commented that he never thought the French were different until he moved to France, and then said, what other country has regular demonstrations at a national day where 2,000 cars get torched, even without the background of something like the Gilets Jaunes? So this is, you've unleashed the power of the one country in Europe which has specialised in politics and theatre. And Macron has set that on a line by first of all setting himself up as Jupiter, then ruling with a failed agenda where the engine for that agenda, the rising credit, is gone, and driven people into despair, and in despair they will take drastic action. And the next drastic action may well be to vote for the National Front at the next election, which is the thing which Macron, the only claim to fame he has, is stopping it happening at the last one. He set the grounds in some ways for it to happen at the next.
Mm-hmm. Paolo, how much longer do you predict that the Yellow Vest demonstrations may go on?
Oh, I think it will continue. It may change in its representation, but it is expanding because, you know, you have it from Serbia to France, crossing different countries. Now we will see what happens in the United Kingdom this week with the Brexit vote. Probably it will start over there too. In Italy, it's not starting. It's not starting for the reason that the government is composed of two forces, one which is a more nationalist type, the League, and the other one which is more socially based, in a way similar to the Yellow Vests at the beginning, which is the five-star movement. So, but in Spain is a tradition of this kind of protests. I think the entire setup of the liberal states and the old democracies that we have known for about 200 years in this context are now challenged by a request for effective participation of people to the decision-making process, a real respect for their dignity and identity, and no more a delegation just on a white paper for politicians to do what they think is right.
Mm-hmm. Steve, like you heard, Paolo believes that the Yellow Vest movement will go on. It's also been a source of inspiration, as you know, elsewhere in Europe. We have had instances in the UK, in Brussels, and elsewhere. What's the prospect of the grassroots movement?
I think it'll spread, but this sort of thing does take a lot of focused energy, and they can die out just through fatigue over time. I think probably that's what Macron was hoping will happen. To me, I think what they need to do now is start developing a coherent program. In that sense, the DiEM25 that had been formed by Yiannis Varoufakis may give them some sort of structure which doesn't push you in the direction of the National Front, but does reject the neoliberal policies that are being put forward. I think they do need to get some sort of program overall, because this can just run out because of a lack of ideas. I know that, for example, French students began what they called the autistic and movement against autistic economics, protest against autistic economics in about 2000, and didn't really have an idea of how to carry it forward. It then fell upon an English-American national English-based academic called Edward Fulbrook to start the Real World Economic Review and give a direction to the protest those students had. So unless something comes along to give them a structure to move forward, the Gilets Jaunes may start slowly disappearing through fatigue. But I think the main protest is going to come back if Macron actually does try to live up to what the Gilets Jaunes are arguing for in terms of cutting their taxes, increasing minimum wage and so on, that will mean that France runs a budget deficit exceeding the ludicrous limit set by the Maastricht Treaty of a mere 3% of GDP. And if that happens, then the Brussels may well start imposing controls on the French, and then I think we will see the protests erupt much more dramatically than they have already.
And Paolo, what's best, in your opinion, for France to do to make an exit of this crisis and restore calm?
Well, there is no easy solution. The French political history is a centralized history. So it was so under the king, it is so under the various republican revolutions that they have had. There is a centralization of power that people do not like any longer. The idea that this is necessary for the greatness of the nation is not something that mobilizes the spirits and the sentiments of the people. Nobody will die today for the flag. That's very clear. But it is also important to see that the Gilets Jaunes are not attacking the Republic, like Macron said a few days ago. It is absolutely absurd what he said, because the protesters, they go around also with the French flag, which means symbol of the Republic. So what they do not like is the Republican ideals hijacked by an elite that is following other interests, which are mostly outside of the country itself.
Okay.
So reappropriation of the Republic and of the democratic process.
Okay, Paolo, you have 30 seconds. The same question. Steve, I mean, sorry.
You threw me. I think they're certainly, if anything, more nationalistic, they're more patriotic to France than Macron himself is. Macron's been pushing the Washington Consensus 20 years after the Washington Consensus agreed. It started in 10 years after it failed in the global financial crisis. So he's Johnny come lately to being neoliberal, and he's copying the treatment that deserves from the best people in the world to deliver it, which is the French public.
All right. On that note, we'll come to the end of this debate. Let me thank our guests. We have Secretary General of the CIPR Foundation, Paolo Raffone from Brussels, and Professor of Economics and author of Debunking Economics, Steve Keen, who joined us from Amsterdam. And also thank you for watching this debate. We'll see you soon.